Connecticut, the first is Yoma, which means the day. You know, it's that. And of course, that's what Yom HaKippurim is all about. Sort of a life-changing day. It's a literal meaning. It's presented in the Torah as the day of Achat B'Shana. The one day a year that changes the year, the special day. And that's the idea over here, is that anybody that joined this Daf Yomi basically entered that multi-millennia-long chat room, which is the development of Perish Baal Peh, and feels part of a historical process that is ongoing. And it's very different than any other type of learning. Learning Gemara, and particularly Daf Yomi, is very, very much to become part of a development, part of a path, rather than just studying things and getting them straight. And there are a lot of people who are cynical because of that about Daf Yomi. There's even people who argue themselves out of participating in Daf Yomi for those very reasons. But they say, you know, either you have it, you understand it, and then it's worthwhile learning, or you're wasting your time. And it's fascinating that on the day of Yom itself, the day of Yom HaKippurim, we have a Haftorah. We read a Haftorah that celebrates the issue of the Daf Yomi. Because on that day we read the words of Yishayahu HaNavi, in which he says, "Vosi Yom Yom Yidrosh." Klal Yisrael, every single day, comes to be derish me. So stresses the yom. This is the yoma. Stresses the yom yom, day by day. This beautiful Gemara. And the Gemara tells a story of people who made fun of one of the Talmidim, actually, one of the great Rabbonim in the Gemara, who was unable to participate fully. Was only able to participate, very bad schedule, one day a year. It's pretty bad. It's 2 days a year, actually. See, because he had to, he lived 3 months traveling distance from the yeshiva. It took him 3 months to get there, 3 months to get back. He had to get home, you know, twice a year. So it's basically, he had another 3 months to come back. So he only had 1 day. Okay. He only had 1 day to spend in the yeshiva. So this was an object of an awful lot of joking, as you can imagine. And they came up with a brilliant name for him. In Aramaic, the way that you say a kindergarten student is a bar beirav dechad yuma, a child in school for a day. It just began. So they started calling him the bar beirav dechad yuma. It's a play on words. He's the guy who comes for chad yuma, for 1 day. And this shattered him. I mean, the Gemara says, a beautiful Gemara. This was, they called him Baba Rav Dechad Yuma, and it says, Chol HaShtaita, he became very depressed by it. Kore Anapshe, and he read on himself the Pasuk, David HaMelech mentions, Schok HaYiti L'Reyai. I became a laughing stock to my Schok L'Reyai. Rabbi Yochanan found out, Rabbi Yochanan, of course, was going to Lador, was the Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Yochanan found out about this, was very upset. And he immediately called everybody together and he gave a public drush. He says, please, you're going to destroy everyone that's involved in this. And he said, listen to the pasuk. He quoted the pasuk, this pasuk from Yishayahu. Voti yom yom yidrosh. So he asked, what is that supposed to mean? The Klal Yisrael seeks me yom yom. Why mention yom? Because he beyond the Shivato Balayla, Lo the Shivato. What does that mean? That we seek God only in the day. We don't seek God in the night. Why would it stress the day? Ela Lomalacha to teach you that Kol HaOseik B'Torah Afilu Yom Echad B'Shana. Somebody only has 1 day a year, so he spends that day learning Torah. Ma'ale Alav HaKatuv. The Torah considers him as if Kilu Asak Kol HaShana Kula, as if the entire year he was Oseik in learning. Amazing assertion. And he points out that this is exactly what happened in the Midbar with the Chet HaMeraglim. Chet HaMeraglim was basically 40 days. So they went all around there, it's all 40 days. They came back, said Lashon Hara, we accepted Lashon Hara, and God says, Yom Lashana. Every day gets a year, and it gives you 40 days, connected, 40 years connected to those 40 years. 40 days. And after all, they only sin 40 days. Why are they punished 40 years? And Lomanaka, Kola Ovea Vera, a few Lomekatishana, and I love the Kotoki, Lota Kalashanakula. It's exactly the same way. This is was the story of Ravidi. We know his son, this Raviakov Varidi. His father was the one that this had happened to. So therefore, said Rav Yochanan, Ravidi has to be treated as a full member of the Daf Yomi. He's here every day, even if he only shows up once a year. But he is, No, but it's a beautiful limud, because Rav Yochanan is obviously trying to tell us something with this comparison to the Chetam Merag. When you think about it, I mean, why? What is it? Does it make sense to say that because we were 40 days, and therefore God tells Moshe for every day that you went, you're going to suffer for a year? Why would that be? Because we recognize that there are days that define not themselves, but that become a change in a person. They become definitive in a person. They make his life different. They make him enter into a completely new context. Those kind of days. So it's as if you live that way all year. Of course, that's what Yom Kippur does. It's the whole point of Yom Kippur is that you have this one day a year, Akas B'Shalman, and people who couldn't care less about anything else in Yiddishkeit, for some reason, that day they're not going to miss. Why? Because they know deep down that it is, in fact, a day that defines their underlying commitment and where it is that they're living. What's the world that they live in? Deep down, what is the context? What is their hierarchy of value? So they show up on that one day. Says Rav Yochanan, that was the point in the Midbar. When HaKadosh Baruch was saying it's a year for each day, it's because indeed the shift in the paradigm, the acceptance of the Lashon Hara, the willingness to turn away from Eretz, each one of those days basically defined them in completely new ways. It was as if it were a year. And therefore he said, Bamtuza, don't cause yourselves to be punished by looking at what Ravidi is doing as in some way a compromised situation. It's a marvelous parallel. And I think that's the deeper meaning of Daf Yomi. It's the idea of the Yom itself is being important. The Daf Yomi is not meant to be educational. It's not education in the normal sense. When you give a list of facts, you're supposed to know these facts, get to know them well, understand them, and so on. Forget them, of course, the day after the test anyway. But it's the type of learning that is a learning that is meant to define your world differently. It's exactly the same. A child begins to speak. We don't measure that child's new world by the number of words that he learned today. We certainly don't attempt to teach him language by taking out a dictionary and going through the words and explaining it to make sure you get these definitions right. We understand that the context of learning how to speak is an entry into a completely new reality. That reality will be developing on its own. It's entirely heuristic by definition. We understand that in attempting to over-define the words, we will deprive him of language. He needs to gain the subtlety by constantly using those words in new contexts and thereby seeing what they mean in a way that will enable him to write the dictionary. But certainly, he would never be able to get out of a dictionary, even a very, very complex dictionary that goes into word comparisons. There is so much subtlety, so much between the lines. And we recognize that it's the beginning of a long journey, which is a lifetime journey, which will constantly be growing and developing itself. And it would be absurd. I mean, there are parents that foolishly sit there and analyze precisely what it is that a child has done every day. We understand that that's very destructive. Daf Yomi is exactly that type of thing. It's taking on the Torah not as a lot of knowledge. It's taking on the Torah as a different language, a different way to see reality. In order to do that, it cannot be defined. It can only be achieved by allowing oneself basically to learn how to swim by jumping in. Exactly as every child does when they learn how to speak. That's what it's all about. So an attempt to define Daf Yomi by how well I understood it, it undermines and corrupts the entire idea of what a Daf Yomi is. It is indeed meant to be exactly this, It's a whole new life. It's a whole Shana for every single day. It's a completely different idea. And therefore, the amazing thing is, I think this is one of those astonishing things. The Yom HaKippurim, the Haftorah on Yom HaKippurim, is this Haftorah of Oti Yom Yom Yidrosh. Okay. But Yom HaKippurim, of course, is the end of a whole period of destruction, Churban. Those 40 years that Rav Yochanan makes reference to over here is Av. That's the idea of Av. So the destruction of Av is addressed finally in Yom HaKippurim. Salat Kivorecha, a rebuilding, that's when we started building the Mishkan. Beautiful, lovely. But the beginning of the process, every Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Av, we read another Haftarah. The other Haftarah that we read is from Yirmiyahu. And there Yirmiyahu says, Topsei HaTorah Lo Yidoi. Those who are the Topsim, those who hold on to the Torah, they did not know me. It's an amazing Malbim. And Malbim says the reason Yirmiyahu uses that word, why did he say the Lomdea Torah, the Yodea Torah? He says, that's not like him. There are people who like to grasp things. Tophes means to grasp. We say, use it even today. Lodabas, I didn't understand that. Explain it again. Or we say in Yiddish, Techap. Techap means to be tophes. But the chap is to be a chaper. It's to try to hold on to something. I want this to be mine. So when somebody comes, a tofes ha-Torah, says the Bible, that means he's misusing the Torah. It's no longer that he exists in the Torah, but rather the Torah is something that he can control. It's in his hands. And basically, like everything, as the Gemara tells us, everything that is well-defined, it's weighed, it's balanced, to measure it, can never have a bracha. Bracha can only come by continuing to live in a Schrodinger's box. And at the end, the bracha comes. But definitions always destroy bracha. Therefore, the Malbim says over here, that's the Tosei HaTorah Lo Yidouni. By definition, all of these people, they're babysitting and learning Torah, and they know a lot of Torah. It's the most amazing anti-Torah behaviors in people that are spending their whole day learning Torah. How could that be? Because they're Tosei HaTorah, rather than the Torah including them. So the whole idea of Daf Yomi is to escape that. So that as much time as a person has, I don't know, but to go into this particular point, that particular point. But the main idea is to leave open-ended that particular limud so that a person continues to grow, and that's why he feels for the first time really part of that chat room. Rabbi Akiva was talking and he's responding. Rabbi Akiva had an opinion, and he's bringing it further. It's an amazing feeling, and people really feel this way. It's not theoretical. You sit there talking, and these people become your friends. And the Rashi gets refreshed, the Gemara becomes your friend, and the Rambam becomes your friend. And you're sitting and talking with them, and it's as if they're there in front of you all the time. And you especially take into consideration the fact that the Gemara, as it was being developed, nobody knew it by definition, right? It was being developed. So we turn around and we look back and we say, oh, this is what we have to know. The people who wrote it didn't know it. I mean, if that's the whole point, that it was open-ended. It's also a beautiful, beautiful Gemara that speaks about this issue. Gemara says like this, that Rav Kahana says, when I was 18 years old, I finished Shas. Don't mean about it. You know what? I didn't even know a simple rule that ain't me cry and say me day pshuto. Says the Lord, what does he have to tell us this for? Oh, says the Lord, he has to tell us. Because if he wants us to know, Michael Mashman, the Ligmarin, the Shvarda Lisman, a person must first learn to be immersed in an entire world, and then he can try to figure it out. Never try to figure out the world that you're getting into as you're getting into it. That's exactly this idea. I was just thinking about himself. I was 18 years old, thinking I knew anything, didn't know anything. So, yeah, but I finished shots. It's a big deal, so I finished shots. But it is a big deal, because that became my world. Now everything that I learned in the rest of my life fits into that. So you say, how could I not have known this? I didn't know. That's all. I didn't know. I didn't find out. I figured out. So 20 years later, now I know. Now everything clicks into place with that particular thing. A year from now, I'll learn something else. Is there really an end to the process of learning? Anything that we know now is the same way we're going to look at it 10 years from now. So anyway, there's no end. What would it mean to be a Tofei Satori? For what purpose to be a Tofei Satori? So we learn to the maximum of our ability on both sides. This is why this beautiful Shulchan Aruch Barat by Paskins, even though he's usually very, very makbir, and Hilchos Talmud Torah is very makbir, to see to it that you must review what you learn, otherwise you should go further. You have to know what you learned well. He said, nonetheless, it's essential to have some period in the day in which you get to learn everything in Shas. Why? Because al pi Kabbalah, you know, Elam Haba, anything that you once saw, even passing through, you'll be zochet to understand in eternity. But something that you never even were exposed to, how can you be zochet to understand it? So that's the idea. We're always children in Olam Hazeh. Our lives pass so quickly, we're just learning how to live by the time we die. We're children. And all of our lifetime in this world is a childhood. So to say, in that childhood, I have to suddenly define a particular moment, this is what I know. There's never a moment we can say, this is what I know. And what we look forward to can only be meaningful in terms of eternity. Therefore, we need to see the frameworks and the overall structure of things, get a feeling for it, just as every child does, every infant does. It's astonishing to watch an infant's development and every little piece of it. We can't even imagine where it's coming from, because it's holistic. It seems to appear, pop out of nowhere. How in the world could this mass of unrelating neurons suddenly figure out that when daddy sticks his tongue out at me, that's that same thing in my mouth and I should stick it out back? It is astonishing. And yet it happens only holistically. And I'm sure God looks at us in exactly the same way. How the heck did they figure that out? Unbelievable. And this is exactly what God feels me is all about. And therefore, I think that what's unique even about this particular group of Daf Yomi is the wholesomeness and the willingness to interact and not to feel that everything has to be well-defined and everything is ashkof and everything represents this political way of looking at things and this firm way of doing things. And it's a group that is interested in hearing the Dvar Hashem as it develops within my own neshama. And in that sense, it's Daf Yomi squared. You've got all the wonderful milas of Daf Yomi that are compounded by the wonderful milas of the particular people that are here. And therefore, I don't understand what even the Havamin is, but it's not worth flying out to come to Daf Yomi. Such a Daf Yomi, it is an honor to be here with you. It's an honor to be associated in any level with such a group in this type of learning. And I'm made of Mishabeah Takovich Roku with Mazaka me, and I'm loaded to you for allowing me to be part of it. So Mazel Tov to you from Yerushalayim, and to all of your works, I guarantee you have a Malkum right there. But I live right next to the Malkum on Mikdash. I'm sure that's where the place is. So Mazel Tov.